At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center, here with Ron Crow. He is the Kentucky Baptist Convention Director of Disaster Relief. Ron, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, I so appreciate you joining us because you have been a very busy guy, a very much in-demand guy with the various disasters around Kentucky, and that's why we're doing the program. I wanted to highlight the work of KBC Disaster Relief to let those who really right now, in the midst of a lot of disasters that Kentucky has faced, and when I say a lot of disasters, various communities have faced various disasters, whether it's tornadoes or flooding. Those are the two main disasters, but you have been in the mix, and you're brand new to Kentucky for the most part, which I just learned of. You've not been here for a full year.
Yeah. Came here February 1st of this year. Yeah. Two days into my job, we had the ice storm, and then a couple of days later was the historic flood in eastern Kentucky, so I hit the ground running.
And then just to really close out last year, so we're in 2022, so you came in February 1st of 2021. Mm-hmm. Not quite a full year, but you came when there was historic flooding in eastern Kentucky. You ended out the year with historic tornadoes. I don't know if there's been any greater tornado activity in the country, from what I understand, as far as the length of that tornado that went through Mayfield and branched off, went through Dawson Springs and Princeton, and then another branch went through the Bowling, let's see, South Todd area, all the way to Bowling Green. Almost 200 miles in length somewhere. Is a very lengthy tornado, historic tornado.
It was. It was the longest tornado on the ground in, I think, in history. So it covered a lot of ground and really spread us a lot of miles apart. So it was difficult to keep up with all of that and where the affected areas were. But we've got a lot of volunteers on the ground that work hard to help make that happen.
And that's awesome. And that's one reason why I wanted to talk about this, because when there's a time of disaster and when people are in need, they're wondering, how can I help? The people who weren't affected are saying, what can I do to help? So you've seen these GoFundMe accounts. You've seen churches raise money for disaster relief. And then, of course, there's the Kentucky Baptist Convention disaster relief. Tell us a little bit about that before we go into the tornadoes, and we will go back into the tornadoes in West Kentucky, and you've been there. You can tell us firsthand what you saw. But I'd like to learn a little bit more for the sake of the listeners. So tell us about disaster relief.
Sometimes we say that the disaster relief ministry of the Southern Baptist Convention is kind of the most best kept secret in our convention. And because our workers just get on the ground and serve, and that's what they want to do. But right here in Kentucky, we have a very well organized system in our disaster relief ministry. We have trained volunteers. All of our volunteers go through a criminal background check, so they are credentialed volunteers. We go through the basic training of how we do ministry. One of the things we want to make sure is it's done safely and effectively, but also what is our heart? What is our ministry? And obviously, and I often ask the question, how many of you need something else to do? And we're already too busy. But when this happens, we have volunteers step up and respond. And so to the world, it seems like foolishness. But when we see the opportunity of ministry to love on people when they're hurting, and we're moved with compassion, and you look at Jesus and in the scriptures during his ministry, how many times he was moved with compassion to help people when they were hurting or in need. And so this ministry models the ministry of Jesus Christ. People are hurting and in need, and it moves us with compassion to meet their need. And so we do the training there, but then we also have specialized training with our chainsaw ministry, our flood recovery ministry, our feeding ministry, our child care, our chaplain, and that list goes on, communications. And so we have trained volunteers that know how to do that safely. One thing to run a chainsaw in your backyard by yourself, but it's another when 15 or 20 people are running around with heavy equipment. So we want to be safe. And so we go through intense training to make sure they do it safely. And so when a response comes, we also have a management team that manages that response. so that we can respond and minister to that community. So our state has that, but so does every other state. So we can call on other states to come, which we did. Several states came and helped us in this response.
I want to talk about that in a minute. But so how do you become a volunteer with the KBC Disaster Relief?
We offer, you can look on our webpage at kybaptist.org/dr, and it outlines our training plan that we have. And we have four trainings this year across the state. And so you can sign up for that training. And typically it's a Baptist ministry. So usually it's our Baptist churches that sign up for that. But there are others that will join. But you can find out all that information on our webpage.
I'm interested in the chainsaw ministry.
Yeah.
I've got a chainsaw. I'm an outdoors guy. I've got a farm here in Franklin County, and I do have a chainsaw. And I know the dangers with it. I can imagine having 15 or 20 people with chainsaws. Not only that, but when you have a disaster, you're talking about down power line. You're talking about metal that could be in the wood, embedded in the wood.
The reality is people, when they have the destruction in their yard, it's like, where do I even begin? And especially if you go to an elderly couple or a widow woman, she's incapable of doing that. So, but for us to come in and do that and do it safely, you know, tornadoes a lot of times will twist a tree. So it's not, so that poses its own danger right there, cutting it up.
So for people that have not used a chainsaw, chainsaws in and of themselves are extremely dangerous.
Yes.
When you cut into a tree that has tension in it, it could become a deadly force. And I've seen bad things happen with that. So I'd be fascinated to see how you teach that. I might have to check it out.
It's a 2-day training. And then we also have an addition to that where we do some of the rigging. So we teach some of the rigging to take things off houses if a tree is on a house. You wonder how can you really do ministry with that? But it really opens the door to share Christ with them, because a lot of them will ask, what does this cost me? And because there's so many scammers and all this. Yeah. So that's one of their questions. What will this cost? Our response to that is it's already been paid for. And that opens the door. Well, who has paid for this? And we can tell them the Lord Jesus Christ brought us here for this purpose, to share with you the love of Christ. It opens the door for ministry.
It not only opens the door for ministry, but when people are in the midst of a crisis, they're vulnerable, they're hurting, and when they see an act of grace like that, I think they're more open to the gospel.
Absolutely. They're moved by people who will leave their homes and families, travel so far at their own expense to help somebody they've never met. That doesn't compute with the world.
One of the things that a lot of people are struggling with right now is, why does God allow disasters to happen? And I don't really want to go into the theology of that, but I want to look at the practicality of it. You and KBC teams, and there's other ministries like yours that are ministering in time of need. You see doors that are open. People are receptive to the gospel. And perhaps maybe that's why it's a reminder that we're in a broken world. There's natural evil like tornadoes and floods, hurricanes. But people can see God's grace and His goodness, even in the midst of disaster.
Absolutely.
Do you see people come to faith? I know obviously seeds are being sown when they see you at work and when you're able to share the gospel. But do you see any of the fruits of those seeds that are sown?
Absolutely. I often relate it to like the jeweler when they have a diamond on display. They don't put it on a white background, they put it on black. And the reason is for it the contrast to really shine the light and the reflection of the diamond. And I see that a lot of times in disasters, that in the ugliness of it all, the Lord can shine through even brighter when He sends His people there. And so a lot of people, they're hurting, they're struggling, they need to tell their story. We have trained chaplains that will listen to their story, help them begin that healing process. We bring them help, which gives them hope. And that's kind of our motto. We bring help, hope, and healing. And that generates the healing process. But a lot of people ask the question, why do you do this? And it opens the door to share the gospel. And so far that I know of, we've had 16 professions of faith. People come to Christ because they've witnessed what we've done.
Now, was this with the disaster relief in Mayfield?
Yes.
I know, and we're going to get to that in a moment. Yes. But so for further reflection, as human beings, we get into a comfort zone. Mm-hmm. We get into our routines. Sometimes those comfort zones are not in a good place. We shield ourselves from God, from the church. And it takes a disaster maybe sometimes to shake us up.
Mm-hmm.
and our life is recalibrated when we've lost everything. As in Mayfield, there, I don't know how many hundreds of homes, I believe, right, that have been damaged or completely lost there. But in the case of an individual where they've lost their home, they've lost their possessions, they maybe their workplace was destroyed, that brings somebody to a bare minimum of life, and then we're left with asking questions like, oh my goodness, where do I start? But when you come in and are able to minister and to share the gospel, you're offering a new starting point.
One of the things we've seen too is a lot of times when, you know, we value our possessions and we think that's, you know, the thing, but when they're suddenly taken away, and when our life was even threatened by this storm, they began to put priorities in proper order all of a sudden. And we realized the possessions aren't as important as I thought they were. My family's okay. I'm okay. They went through a horrible ordeal, but they realized that family is the most. And then there are some that did lose family members. And so they're struggling through that process. And sometimes it's a guilt that they're going through. It's the grieving. It's the sorrow. And so we come alongside them and just love them through it. There's not any words we can say that makes it better, but we can be that shoulder to cry on. And many times we cry with them. And that helps process that healing and grieving process they need to go through.
Ron, how many volunteers do you have with KBC Disaster Relief?
Right now, we probably have about 2,300 on our list. Probably 1,100, 1,200 are active. And, you know, we'll respond about any time. We've, during the Western Mayfield area, we had probably just in the one location about 180 volunteers for about 3 weeks during that. But we had other locations going on as well. So we probably had 300 volunteers on the ground.
Ron, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about what you saw in Mayfield. A lot of people have seen pictures of the devastation with the Mayfield tornado and the Bowling Green and Princeton tornadoes. But I'd like to hear what you saw in person.
Okay.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center, and we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky.
Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, here with Ron Crow. He is the Director of Disaster Relief for the Kentucky Baptist Convention. And Ron, just before the break, we were talking about the Mayfield tornado, and you come from the Joplin, Missouri area, which you lived there most of your life, your whole life. Joplin was hit by a major tornado a while back.
In 2011, had an F5 come right through the heart of Joplin.
One of my questions to you when we were talking over the phone the other day was, how does the Joplin tornado, and that was devastating.
Yes.
It was a, I don't know how much in how many dollars in damage it cost, but it was very devastating. How did that compare, first of all, with the Mayfield tornado?
A lot of tornadoes are very similar, but many times are very different. The one in Joplin was an EF5, but it was only on the ground for 13 miles. At one point, it was a little over a mile wide, so it was very destructive, but it was moving at about 28 miles per hour, so it just sat there and pulverized everything. So in the path of the destruction, it was pretty intense. But the length of it wasn't all that long in comparison to Kentucky's tornado. But I think it was EF3 was what came through Kentucky, but it was very intense where it was. It moved very quickly, but it did intense damage where it went through and destroyed places. And so when I was in Mayfield and the other areas in Benton and Dawson Springs and Princeton and Bowling Green, the damage was very bad. I mean, it's like you went through and just dropped bombs everywhere is really what it looked like. And so I remember coming into Mayfield on Sunday afternoon, and we come over the hill, and then you could see the whole town that was there, and it just kind of took your breath away at the intense destruction that was there. Joplin had I think 161 that died in that tornado, and so it was, you know, a lot of loss of life. Mayfield and this tornado didn't lose that many, but there still was significant number of loss of life. So the destruction was still very, very intense all the way through. It wasn't as wide, but it was much, much longer.
So I've seen the pictures of Mayfield. Much of the downtown area was destroyed. I was there back before Thanksgiving, had a meeting downtown, and then I went to lunch at a restaurant downtown. Both those buildings were completely destroyed. And these were both solid brick buildings, had stout construction, and it was hard for me just to see pictures of rubble, knowing that I was just there not too long ago. So it looked like a bombed out area, looked like a war zone. What were some of the first things that you did when you saw the pictures and of the devastation? What were some of the first things you did as the director of disaster relief?
One, when you see that, you just begin praying. One, for those who have lost loved ones, that you pray for them. And my heart goes out to them. When I see that kind of destruction, you immediately know there probably has been loss of life. And so you grieve over those. Then there's the next group that are injured, some serious, some minor, but that are injured. But then all of them went through it. There's that the element of fear, and then all of the emotion that goes with that. And so I've always had a heart for people, and I love people, and so that's immediately where I go to when I start thinking. I don't think so much about the mess initially as I do, are people okay, I begin praying for them. And then you begin to realize they've lost homes. They've lost, many of them have lost their jobs, places of business, or even as business owners, they lost that. My understanding is about 4 structures in downtown Mayfield will probably survive. The rest will be destroyed. And so that whole town is going to look very different when it's rebuilt. And so, so those are some things that you see initially and what goes through my mind. And you begin to realizing, okay, where do we even begin? And so you just begin to help where you can and begin to make a difference where you are. And so many people have volunteered to come and help and have made a huge impact.
So I understand Kentucky Baptist Disaster Relief was the first group in there, disaster relief in there. Did you work with local officials? I understand the National Guard eventually came in. How did that look as far as when you got in there, assess the situation, you began praying, like you said, but how did, you're like the general, right? You're commanding the troops.
We command the troops. Yeah.
So how does, I'm trying to get my mind around, did you dispatch the chainsaw team over here and the feeding team over here? Or how did that?
Well, you don't prepare for disaster when the disaster happens. So there's a lot of prep work that has gone into this for months and years prior to that. I'm also part of the Kentucky VOAD, and so it's the Volunteer Organization Active in Disaster. And so it's a lot of the agencies, Red Cross, Salvation Army, Emergency Management, and all of these agencies work together and partner together. So we know each other. So when I began hearing the reports of what this tornado might be, this storm that was coming, I went ahead and put everybody on standby the day before. So get ready, people. If this happens, like they're saying, we need to be ready. So I had our people on the ready. And then Saturday after it happened, we spent pretty much the whole day on the phone and on the internet finding out where it happened, how bad it happened, and what was going on. And we were also in conversation with our partners. And then Sunday morning, we mobilized and arrived on scene. And so we were there right away setting up our operation. We had to have been of power and water so that we can, and so that was pretty much wiped out. So we chose First Baptist Murray, which wasn't too far down the road, and we set up our operation there, and they've been a great partner to work with. And so that we began to mobilize our feeding units, shower units, and then our chainsaw and chaplains and all of that. But we were set up not only in Murray, but we had a site set up in Benton and Princeton and then also in Bowling Green. So we invited some of the state partners to help us with that. But we stayed in communication with Red Cross and our VOAD as well. So they knew where we were, what we were doing, and so we had a coordinated effort.
So you had approximately 300 people on the ground in Mayfield. You had different team leaders leading their different efforts, the food, the chainsaw. I keep getting back to the chainsaw. I'm fascinated by that. Housing, you house people. And then you worked with other organizations too, as you mentioned. How does it impact a volunteer when somebody sees a disaster like that and they're involved with relief efforts? What does that do for one of the volunteers?
What we often think of as a volunteer when we go in, especially in a disaster situation, is, you know, if you've experienced that disaster, I'm coming to help you, and I want to help you in any way I can and be a blessing to you. But what we have always found every single time is, and we call it the double blessing. Yes, we came in to provide some help and healing and even spiritual and emotional care for you. So we were a blessing to you, but in turn, you have blessed us. And God is always doing that, which, and I think he does that intentionally so that we are motivated to continue to do his work. And so it's a double blessing, and people come back. We had probably over 50 of our first-time volunteers. This is their first response ever. And several of them told me directly, I am hooked on this ministry. This ministry changes lives.
You bring up a really fascinating point, that it blesses those who are ministering. I've experienced it firsthand with other ministries. I've been involved with jail ministry in the past. And to be involved, and that's not for everybody, but right. To be involved with a ministry like that where you're blessing others, I've experienced blessing. And I don't know how to put into words other than to say what you're saying is that it does bless you,
it does.
Right? It does actually have an impact on your life. And it's, and you're seeing, and here the thought that comes to mind, mm-hmm. Ron, is that you're doing something significant that impacts another's person life at a time when they most need it. Mm-hmm. And you're doing it to honor God. You're doing the two great commands all at once. You're
Absolutely.
Loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you're loving your neighbor as yourself.
Absolutely.
And hence the blessing.
Yes. And so we've seen so many times like that. And you never know. God always gives us opportunities. I remember we were in a response in Alabama one time, and we're getting ready to cut up this large tree. And to me, it's just a tree. But we noticed the woman of the house and her son, they were crying. It's like, why are they crying over us getting ready to cut a tree? Well, they lived in that house all their married life. Her husband had passed away the year before, and they planted it on their wedding day. Mm-hmm. Now this tree is blown over. We're getting ready to cut up to me a tree. To her, it was a memory. And so we paused and just loved on her till she told us she was ready. And so, you know, as you hear that story, there's more to things, you know, there's more stories in the midst of the story that God teaches us and grows us through it.
Well, you're binding with other people. You're sharing yourself with other people who have real stories and have real needs at the time. And I think that's when we grow in the faith, when we give ourselves to others, when we're in service to God, mm-hmm. when we're ready to minister, able to minister. That changes us as people,
doesn't it?
It does. Just as a disaster changes the landscape, and it might change our neighborhood, or even our house and our living situation, ministering to others changes the landscape of our soul,
yes.
if you will.
I've often said, at what times in your life have you grown the most spiritually and in your knowledge and love of the Lord? It's through the difficult times. And that's where we grow and where we learn and where we're shaped. We go through the fire. And so as we see this, we go through that destruction, we go through the fire, we go through all the difficulties there. But just physically, as you see all this destruction, and then one of these days it's going to be rebuilt and look even better than it did before, same thing happens in our heart. We go through that difficulty. Where do we go from here? How do we get help? But in the end, we're strengthened by it, and we're better on the other side. In the meantime, we got to go through it. But the promise we have from the Lord is he's always with us, will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen. And that's a promise that we need to cling to, whether we're going through a time of trial and disaster or just in our daily lives. Mm-hmm. We need to remember that God is with his people. He cares deeply about his people, and we need to lean on him.
Absolutely.
So, Ron, how can somebody, and I talked about this in the first segment, but I want to give an opportunity for you to say it again. How can somebody get involved with KBC Disaster Relief?
Okay. They can go to our webpage at kybaptist.org/dr. And you can see our training opportunities that are there. And so they're on the webpage. And like I said, we have 4 trainings this year across the state. So depending on where you live, there's one probably close to you.
So you have one coming up in Owensboro in the month of March, mm-hmm. and then one in April in
Winchester.
Mm-hmm. So not far from where our studio is here in Frankfort. And both of these 2-day trainings?
Pretty much on Saturday. With the chaplain training, because you have to have some experience to be a chaplain, it's a 2-day training, but Saturday is the main training. There'll be the intro to disaster relief that everyone goes through, that gets their credentials, and gives an overview of how the ministry is organized and how it works and why we do what we do. And then in the afternoon is the ministry areas, the chainsaw and the feeding and those kinds of things. And then periodically throughout the year, we have an additional training for the chainsaw. It's a two-day training where it's a really intense safety training and how to on how to do the chainsaw ministry.
Ron, not everybody can volunteer. They might not have the strength or just not able to do it. How else could somebody help Kentucky Baptist Convention disaster relief?
Okay, I might mention, number one, a lot of people are wanting to bring the in-kind donations, you know, load up a trailer and bring. Okay. We are overloaded. In fact, we have stuff sitting outside because we don't have, we've got too much.
Okay, so no donations.
No physical donations because there's just too many right now. Okay. Maybe a need later, but right now there's just too many. And so, but I've always said everyone can pray. And we need the prayers for those who have survived this and where do they go from here, that God will provide their need. Praying for our relief workers that we're safe and effective. But then I'll say that most can give. And that's one of the things that's needed most, especially as we're moving to the rebuild, to give. And you can give through our webpage. There's a donate button right there that you can give. And then some can go. And so if when needs come, especially as we move to the rebuild part, there's going to be volunteers needed. And even now, just to help with the debris pickup, you know, through the yards and the fields and sidewalks and all that needs picked up.
Now, we didn't just have the Mayfield, Bowling Green, Princeton tornadoes, but another wave of tornadoes came through Kentucky just the other day, mm-hmm. hit my old stomping grounds, Hopkinsville, Glasgow, Bowling Green got hit again. Mm-hmm. So there are other needs there, yes. Other areas that weren't hit before in the first round. So I would guess that we need more volunteers, some that might not be able to get out. Mm-hmm.
And this is a difficult time of year because of the cold weather, but we're setting up tomorrow in Campbellsville area to do a chainsaw response there. And we're currently set up in Pike County, working Belfry and Sydney communities after the intense flooding they had on New Year's Day. So they had a significant historic flood there. So we are in both places.
Very good. Ron Crow, we are out of time. It's good to have you with us. Appreciate what you're doing and what Kentucky Baptist Disaster Relief is doing. May God bless you. You keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.